Bible paraphrased. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who received Him, that is, to all who received Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to trust Him to save him. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. For His Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we really are God's children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children. Think of it, and we really are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, from the English Standard Version of the Bible, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. This morning, if I could get you to picture one thing, I want you to picture yourself as a child of God. I want you to picture yourself as sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty, spiritually adopted by Him through God-given faith to trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior of our souls and the Master of our lives. Because when you think about it, there's not a greater picture, is it? I mean, this is one of the most awesome pictures, one of the most inspiring, amazing pictures that you and I can have in our hearts and our minds. And that is that we literally are children of Almighty God. From the website Preaching Today comes this heartwarming story. In August 2009, we got a wonderful email from my wife's youngest brother, John. 6 or 7 years ago, when John and his wife, Lori, were working with a youth group in Nebraska, they met Amanda, a teenage girl the same age as their son, Wesley. Amanda came from a terribly abusive home and was eventually taken from her parents by the state. She had been part of John and Lori's family ever since. After conferring with their two biological sons, John and Lori legally adopted Amanda. She is 22, and her name is now Amanda Foote. She will even get a new birth certificate. Now John and Lori have 3 legal heirs, and Amanda has 2 new brothers. She no longer has any legal claim upon her former parents who disowned her, nor they upon her. John and Lori had thought of Amanda as their very own daughter for a very long time. But I ask if anything felt different after that day at the courthouse when the adoption became final. John said, "Well, absolutely. When it was official, there was a huge change in Lori and me, sort of like when you see your newborn for the first time. And for Amanda, there was a change in her too. Now she knew that she belonged. She knew that we were her parents." And the writer says, "Sound familiar? Spiritually adopted by the Lord Almighty through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given a new name, His name. We have been given a new legal standing. We are God's responsibility and we are God's heirs. And we have been given a new family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and God is our true Father." But God went even further. He gave us something that John and Lori can't give Amanda. God gave us His Holy Spirit. In some ways, it's like God gives us His DNA. He implants in us His heart, His mind, His passion, and His holiness. Now, we know about the physical adoption here in our society. But do you give much thought to your adoption as a child of God? On any given day, do you think very much about being that son or that daughter through Jesus Christ, the son and the daughter to our Heavenly Father? Again, that's one of the most awesome things that we can consider. It's priceless. It is a treasure that we all have who know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And when you think about it, we've come a long way, haven't we, to get to that place of being spiritually adopted? Well, just how far? Look at it from this aspect. Turn in your Bible this morning to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. This gives us a real clue as to how far we had to go to get to that place of being ready to be spiritually adopted by our Heavenly Father. Isaiah chapter 53, age-old prophecy regarding Jesus Christ becoming Messiah. You read this on your own completely later today, but this morning, let me just focus on two verses. Two verses. Verses 5 and verses 6. Look at verse 5. The prophet says, "But He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed." Now, that's the focus of Jesus. That's the focus on the Messiah, the sacrifice that He made. Look at you and me. Verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him," the Lord has laid on Jesus, "the iniquity," or the sin, "of us all." If you want to know a brief synopsis of the gospel message, if you want to memorize a passage of Scripture that you can share with others that will say, "Here's the gospel message in a nutshell," Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. There it is. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Folks, there's no doubt about it. We truly have come a long way from that time in our lives when we were spiritual orphans. And as spiritual orphans, that means we were abandoned, we were rejected, and we were unloved. And maybe you can't take yourself back to that place. Maybe spiritually, you can't emotionally or mentally feel that. But know for a fact, that's who you once were outside of Jesus Christ. You were a spiritual orphan. You were abandoned, you were rejected, and you were unloved. And so we've come a long way, haven't we? From that place of our spiritual orphan status to this place now of being spiritually adopted. This place where we were literally wanted, accepted, and beloved by the very one who created us. Again, that is a marvelous thing to consider, that we have gone from orphans without a Heavenly Father to sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. It's a great place to be. But just how far did we come to get there? What were we like as spiritual orphans? Well, if you just look at Isaiah 53:6, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? In fact, according to verse 6, it says, "We were like sheep gone astray." Sheep who turned to our own way. And why sheep? Well, you probably heard this all your life, even if you have a young life. Why sheep? Why is it that the Bible often refers to you and me as sheep? Listen to what Philip Keller said in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. "Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mass mind, or our mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance." And Paul David Tripp, in his book New Morning Mercies, addresses the fact that sheep wander, and so do we. Sheep wander, and so do we. Paul David Tripp wrote, "In some way, we all wander away from the Creator's plan for us. We all find ways to step outside of His boundaries. We all do things that He does not want us to do and fail to do what He has called us to do. In fact, we all, in word, thought, or deed, in moments of foolishness, weakness, or self-interest, wander away every day. All we like sheep have gone astray. we have turned every one to his own way. And I want you to make sure you notice there the words all and everyone, because there are no exceptions. Every person has gone astray. Every person has turned to his or her own way. And this includes you, and this includes me, and everyone that is ever created. You see, there are people out there who want to say, I've got it all together. And I've never done anything wrong. I've never done anything to violate God. And they throw that out very loosely. But the reality is, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every single one of us have turned to our own way. That's the biblical description of us. That's who we are as spiritual orphans before we come to know Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of our lives. Sheep wander. They wander from the safety, protection, and provision of the fold being watched by the shepherd. And they do so because it's simply the sheep's nature to do this. Sheep, they don't go to sheep school and learn how to wander away. They wander because that's how they are created. That's their nature. A fallen nature, by the way, but that is their nature. And so if we're compared to sheep, and we are, what that tells us is that we, like sheep, wander from the safety, protection, and provision of the fold being watched by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, because it's simply our nature to do so. What nature? Well, it's our sin nature. It's that natural tendency for us to stray away from being obedient to the Lord God and to turn instead to our own pleasure-seeking, self-gratifying, unrighteous ways. That's our fallen nature. That's who we are. Last week I told you about an earthworm. I went and checked to see if that little booger was still there. He was gone. That's a good sign. Either he dug in and burrowed and his life was spared, or some bird ate him. One of the two. Last week I told you about an earthworm. Let me tell you today about a gopher. Now, this happened years ago, but it's a true story. Years ago when we lived in Augusta, you know, between where we lived at the Bible College and the little town of Augusta, 21 miles, there was a lot of open road. Some was gravel, some was paved, but all the roads were covered with gophers. They were all over the place out there. And the ranchers, I mean, it was difficult for them because, you know, gophers dig holes. And cows step in holes. Horses step in holes, and it can break legs. And so it's not uncommon for ranchers and farmers to invite people to come out and to shoot gophers. Now, I know how that sounds, but that's part of the rodent-isms of that area. One day I'd gone into Augusta, and on the way back, I'm driving fairly slow because I want to look at the mountains. I want to enjoy what's going on. And sure enough, there's gophers just crossing the road in front of me. And I don't give it much thought at all. And I'm going pretty slow, slow enough that all of a sudden I can see a really large gopher on the side of the road. And he's looking intently on this pretty big bug, because I can see the bug from probably, I don't know, 20, 25 yards away. I can see this bug beginning to run across the road, much faster than the earthworm did, by the way. I can see that bug running across, and I can see that gopher now going after him. And the bug is running, and the gopher is running, and they're just getting right out in the middle of the road, and now I am just about there. And that gopher, no joke, that gopher turns. I don't know if he heard the vehicle or not. That gopher turns and looks toward the vehicle, and his eyes are literally as big as that little gopher's eyes could be. And I thought, I got him. I missed him. But I was amazed after I got past him. That little gopher, though he was on his prey, he was going after that bug, that little gopher realized that there was a danger, and that gopher turned and looked at that danger. And it shocked him and surprised him. Now, I tell you that because when we're looking at this fallen nature of ours, It's not this one-time incident of, oh, we're going to go after that which we know we should not go out because it's a dangerous place to be. We can get harmed if we do so. And, oh, I made a mistake. That's not our fallen nature. Our fallen nature is we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, that's who we are. And we will continue to do that until something alters that particular nature, that particular way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that own way, when you think about it, according to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that verse says, that's a way that seems right to a person, but in its end, it is the way of death. This is what has made us spiritual orphans. This mindset that we can go after our own way. That we can live in fear and uncertainty, and it's all right. That we can live without peace, joy, and hope, and it doesn't matter. That we can live in the filth of ungodliness. We can live in sin and unrighteousness, and it doesn't affect us. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because living as spiritual orphans is no way for God's people to live. Not His creation. Not you and me. And so, though we are like sheep who have gone astray, though we are like sheep who have turned to our own way, there is a solution to this. And you know the solution. You know the solution for people sheep like you and me. You know the solution for dealing with our spiritual orphan status. And that solution is there in verse 6. Look at it again, Isaiah 53, 6. And the Lord has laid on him, the Lord has laid on Jesus, the iniquity or the sin of us all. Why is verse 5 in place? Well, verse 5 is in place because of the condition of those of us identified in verse 6. Verse 5 is in place to make sure we understand that Jesus, according to this verse, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. You see, this is our spiritual adoption. What has taken place in verse 5 is our spiritual adoption. Though we have turned to our own way, though we have gone astray again and again and again, God in his mercy and grace and his love for us wants so much to adopt us as his own. And so he does so through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You see, there on the cross at Calvary, where Jesus was pierced and crushed, the Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He laid your sin and my sin on Jesus. There on the cross at Calvary, where each of us should have been punished for our sinful wandering, Jesus took that punishment upon himself. And there on the cross of Calvary, where each of us should have been wounded for our transgressions against holy and righteous God, Jesus was wounded instead. Therefore, there on the cross at Calvary, we found peace. We found peace with God, and we found the peace of God. And there on the cross at Calvary, Scripture says we were healed. Healed from slavery to sin. Healed from the eternal destruction of sin, meaning healed from eternal death. And healed for spiritually fruitful, obedient living as sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Again, this is our spiritual adoption. Why? Because all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And aren't we glad that he did that? Aren't we thankful that because God did this, because through God-given faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have been forever spiritually adopted into the family of our loving Heavenly Father. And that's what we are thankful for, right? That's what we are rejoicing in. And by the way, you know this, but let me just remind you, this adoption, This adoption entitles us, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 points out, it entitles us to draw near to the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What has your week been like? In your relationship to the Lord God, in purity, in holiness, in righteousness, what has your week been like? Where did your mind go? What were some of the words you said? Or what was your attitude, your feelings? Did everything measure up obediently to the teaching of Scripture? In other words, can you look back at your week and say there was not a time that with a rebellious heart, I disobeyed God? Now, if you can say that, close your ears for just a moment. But if you can't say that, I just wonder about this. I wonder if you this week at some point were like me, where something went awry, where there was the temptation and I fell into the temptation and I sinned. And for a brief moment, the enemy came after me to say to me, "Oh, you think you're a child of Almighty God? If you were a child of your Heavenly Father, would you really think that, say that, do that? Would you really?" And for that brief moment in time, if you were like me, there was a moment when you might have questioned your adoption status. It might have been just for a second, but for just a second, if you did think that, then the enemy has a foothold. And we can't go there. We can't think that because we know that's not true. You see, Scripture teaches that when we are spiritually adopted by the Lord God Almighty, that is a forever adoption. That means that He will love us always. That means, as Scripture says, that we can draw near to His throne of grace with confidence. That we can go there with that boldness to receive mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. There is never a moment when we cannot do so. And my friends, that's something so important for us to remember, especially when this fallen world wants us to somehow think that we can lose our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If it is solid through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that cannot be lost. That cannot be changed. Oh, we will wander. We will turn to our own ways. Remember, we're still sheep. Even though we're saved, we're still sheep. And what is our nature? Our nature is to wander and to turn to our own ways. But even though that is there, when we are secure in Jesus Christ, in other words, we believe that His shed blood washes us white as snow and it redeems us and it brings us into that right relationship with a holy and righteous God. Folks, that's forever, forever, which means that no matter what you think or feel, it means that no matter what you do or don't do. Now, confession of sin is imperative. That's a part of it. But don't ever get to a place where you think that you lose your adopted status as a child, as a son, as a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That will never happen. And you rest in that and you take assurance in that. Will you wander at times as a sheep? Well, sure you will. Will you turn to your own way at times? Yes. But don't ever think that somehow you are walking away from the fold of a holy and righteous God. As long as you want to be in that fold, you're there. You're there. Now, do some people take that for granted? Well, certainly. Do you question their salvation? I don't know. That's not my job. That's not your job. We don't judge. But what we know is this. When we are in this sheepfold with our Heavenly Father, and we're being protected by Him, loved on by Him, He's showing us grace, He's showing us mercy, He's guiding us, He's directing us, what happens when we do wander? What happens when we turn away for a moment? Well, the Holy Spirit in us convicts, right? And it's not long before all of a sudden we go, out over here, it's not safe. Out over here, I don't find protection. Out over here, I don't find the good grass, the water. So I want to get back over here with the good shepherd. And that true sheep of the living God will always go back. Will always go back. Sometimes the good shepherd has to come and nudge on us and get us there, right? Come on, sheep, get back over here. And that's okay. That's okay. But please, just never lose sight of the fact that when you are in that sheepfold of Jesus Christ through His shed blood on the cross, you're there. You're there. Let me wrap it up with this. Wayne Cordero wrote, "When my daughter Amy was 3 years old, we had her in a preschool. The preschool was going to give the parents of the preschoolers a Christmas concert. So we filled a tight capacity room. Every parent was there. Literally, every parent was there, equipped with a camera and the biggest flash it could bear." Now, you understand already, I've dated the story, right? Because we don't have cameras with flashes much. There's still some. But every parent was there, equipped with a camera and the biggest flash it could bear. About 30 kids came out and filled up the risers, all tucked tightly together. And then one willing-hearted teacher up front tried to lead the preschoolers in the first chorus, the first verse of Joy to the World. She had a nylon string guitar that probably hadn't been played since the Christmas program the year before, and that was probably the last time it was tuned as well. But nevertheless, she had a willing heart. The kids, remember, were only 3 years old. They could barely speak in complete sentences, let alone sing full measures of music. But undaunted, the teacher began her solo, singing the first line of Joy to the World. The kids were more interested in locating their parents. And you've seen it, haven't you? "Hi, Dad. Hey, Mom." They want the attention. The teacher kept singing Joy to the World. But then all of a sudden, I noticed that my daughter noticed me. And little Amy is no longer trying to sing. All little Amy is trying to do is to get my attention to take the picture. And take the picture, he says, I did. And so did every other parent. It was absolute chaos, formless and void. When the song was done, he says, "I was the first to jump to my feet like popping corn. The parents gave the kids a standing ovation. We took pictures." Oh, did we ever take pictures? It was like Halley's Comet had just come through the room. We were all so very proud of our children. After it was done, Wayne says, "I went outside to get some air and I was chuckling to myself. I thought, we just gave a standing ovation to the worst concert we've ever heard. And I just took pictures of the worst concert I've ever heard." But then I thought, but wasn't Amy good? Didn't my daughter look precious on that stage? Why in the world did I applaud? It wasn't because of their performance. It was because that was my little girl up there. I applauded them based not on performance, but on relationship. When I was thinking about that, it was this if the Lord again reminded me, "Wayne, that's why I applaud you. It has nothing to do with your performance. It has everything to do with the fact that you have a relationship with me and you are my kid." And Wayne Cordero says, "My heart began to melt and tears came to my eyes because I began to understand that this is what pleases God the most. It's not my performance or lack of. It is my relationship with Him in Christ Jesus." And he remembered, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So maybe here's the question this morning for us. As we've spent time in worship, as we've spent time in communion, as we've spent time looking into the Word, do you in fact have a personal relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ? If you do, may I just remind you one more time that the Lord your God, your Heavenly Father, is so very proud of you. and He loves you always. May I remind you of that? And maybe if there's someone here who does not have a relationship with Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ, you don't know what it means to be His adopted son or daughter. You don't know that peace with God and that peace of God. May I remind you that you can know this peace and this joy, that you can know that He loves you unconditionally, and you can know that He is so very proud of you. And it simply takes getting together with the Lord, acknowledging that you are a wayward sheep, and saying, Lord, I want to get back into the fold. I want to know You. And He'll take care of that. One last reminder before we pray. As I just mentioned, we're still sheep. And by nature, we still want to wander. So this is where it is so imperative that you and I remember that we have to stay with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. That regardless of what we are being prompted to do or to feel or to think, regardless of what this world is trying to entice us with, we've got to stay with the Good Shepherd Jesus, meaning we have to stay in the Word. And no matter what, we have to trust His guidance. No matter what, we have to look for His protection. And no matter what, we have to listen to His gentle, loving voice and know that we are loved. No matter what. No matter what. And one last reminder. Have you ever heard of the Judas goat? The Judas goat? You probably heard about this. James Dobson years ago wrote in his book about the Judas goat. And he was talking about how as sheep, that sheep have a herd mentality. A mob mentality, if you will. That if a sheep sees one sheep do something, then everybody goes for it. Why? Because even if it doesn't make sense, you want to be with everybody else. That's the mentality. That's the nature of a sheep. Dobson says, it's no different with us people. We tend to do the exact same thing. And he gave an example of this, and he used the example of the Judas goat. He had watched a documentary from a slaughterhouse where they were processing sheep. And when they would get the sheep in the pen, the sheep obviously knew there was something going on, and they were very nervous. Sheep are nervous little creatures of habit. They knew something was going on, and so to kind of alleviate that and to kind of help the sheep go in the right direction that they should be going. Now, they were headed to slaughter, but to get them there, they introduced into the sheep area what they call the Judas goat. And it was literally a goat that the goat's only job was to slowly walk up this plank, stopping from time to time to look behind to make sure the other sheep were coming with him. And sure enough, it would happen every single time. The Judas goat would start walking up the plank. And by the way, the plank now is going to lead to the room of slaughter. But the Judas goat would start heading up that plank, pausing from time to time to make sure the sheep were following. And sure enough, they were. When the Judas goat made the move and the mob mentality of the sheep kicked in, the sheep began to follow. But when they got to the very top of that plank, the door opened and the goat went left. The door closed and the sheep had nowhere to go but to the right and to the slaughter. And Dobson said, that's just like us. And this is why we have to be so careful. We live in a culture that wants to not just penetrate the heart and mind of one person. It wants to go after the entire group. It wants to go after the church. And we see this happening all the time where there are churches, there are those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ who begin to think their own way, who begin to go astray from the Word of God. And as long as they can get everybody with them to do it, they feel comfortable. It's that mob mentality. It's that mindset of, well, if she does it, it's okay for me to do it. If he does it, it must be all right. Folks, let me just remind you again that we all have this tendency to wander. And we all have this mob mentality. And this is what we have to guard against. We cannot allow ourselves to follow the Judas goats out there and go after the ways of the world. We have to stay true to the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ as is described in the Word of God. You are loved always. You are wanted always. You have been adopted as a son and a daughter of our Heavenly Father. Stay in the fold. Please, stay in the fold. For your sake, for the sake of your family, and for the sake of the family of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ. Don't go after the Judas goat. Stay where you should be with a good shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that though we don't have it all as it should be, your mercy and your grace is always there for us. Because you love us so much, because you have adopted us as your beloved children, you will continue to show us mercy and grace. And Father, we thank you so much for that. And if there is anyone here today that needs to just know that mercy and grace, needs to know that forgiveness, needs to know that you still love them, you still care for them, you still want them in that relationship, Lord, somehow impress this upon their hearts and their minds. And maybe it involves confession of sin. Maybe it involves just acknowledgement of thinking awry, turning to their own ways. Whatever it takes, Lord, get us back to that place where we understand the truth of your word. And Father, today, let it be that if we're not in that position and we're just secure in our relationship, Lord, let us rejoice in that relationship. Let us just cherish that relationship and be filled with such joy and peace because of the relationship. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, if there are anyone that has never confessed their sins, turned from their wicked ways, and sought after you, trusting in the blood of Jesus to wash them white as snow, let this be the day of salvation. And let it all be for your glory and honor, I ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.